Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
You run with patience the race that is set before you by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And it goes on to say, For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. This is where the fainting comes, is in your mind. Satan comes at us with thoughts. It's the way you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Satan comes at you with thoughts, and we have to guard our thoughts. We have to focus our thoughts and our attention on Jesus. And the sad fact is, most of us have allowed the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, Mark chapter 4, I believe it's verse 19, to turn our attention away and steal the Word of God from us. And that's the reason that we don't have patience, is because we are looking out here and listening to the world offer everything instant gratification. And man, we aren't listening to the Lord, we aren't looking at the Lord, and there's a lot of people that just aren't able to endure because they aren't looking unto Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Moses endured as seeing him who was invisible. He was looking at the author and the finisher of his faith. That's how he was able to persevere. You have to have a vibrant relationship with God where your attention is on God and not looking to the right or to the left. When Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. This is why many people are fainting in their minds. It's because they haven't been looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. And so they faint in their minds. This may not be one of those shouting sermons, but it'll help you. If this is the problem, if this is what's causing the problem, then it's a simple matter. Just get to where you are focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Seek Him with your whole heart. Keep your relationship with God strong, and you know what? You'll last. I've got an entire course that I teach in our Bible school entitled Longevity in Ministry. And you know what it basically boils down to? I've even told my students this. I said, it's just relationship with God. You keep your relationship with God red hot and you'll last. And there may be things you don't understand and mistakes that you're making, but if you're in relationship with the Lord, He'll show you and He'll tell you to turn here and avoid this problem. It all comes down to relationship with God. And many of us just really seek the Lord when we are in trouble. You could say it this way, we seek what God has to offer, but we don't seek God Himself. And so when crisis is on, then we're really seeking God. But when things get good, we take our eyes off of Jesus and we begin to sink. And this is why people don't last, is because they aren't operating in patience. You have to run with patience, which only comes from Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and having a vibrant relationship with Him. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 19. For those of you that were here last night, this is a little continuation of something I said about Elijah. And you know, I'm saying a lot of stuff here, a lot of things. It's taken me years and years and years for me to figure it out. And I'm just saying it to you real quickly. I've got an entire tape series entitled Lessons from Elijah, or a CD and DVD set. You need to get that and supplement what I'm saying, because I teach about, I'm not sure, it's about 5 tapes, I think, an hour and something each tape. And so there's a lot of teaching, and I'm just going through this real quickly. But last night I talked out of 1 Kings chapter 17, how Elijah heard a word from God and he obeyed it. And he delivered that word to Ahab. And only after he delivered the first word did God give him the second step about how he would protect him. And so he went to this brook and God fed him miraculously through the ravens with bread and flesh every morning and evening. And then in the 17th chapter, he went to Zarephath. He stayed with the woman. God miraculously multiplied her food. He raised the woman's son from the dead. In the 18th chapter, he comes back. And he appears unto Ahab and called all of the nation together, all of the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. And he called fire down out of heaven and mocked the messengers of Baal. mocked them. I mean, it's great. I wish I had time to teach on that. If you aren't familiar with this, you need to read 1 Kings chapter 18. He mocked them and he says, maybe Baal is deaf. Maybe you got to yell louder. Maybe he's asleep. Wake him up. Maybe he's on a journey. He let them go for hours and hours, and then he called fire down out of heaven, and the whole nation turned and said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. They had a great revival. And then he took 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of the grove, 850 people down to the bottom of the mountain, and he killed every one of them. You know, I don't know how many people we have in here, but it's close to about 800 and something people. Imagine this. Imagine this many people just killing them. Praise God, we got a different covenant. That's not the way you deal with the people today. But imagine what that would be like to kill 850 people. And then after that, he told Ahab, he says, you better head for home because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab got in his chariot and started for Samaria, which was about 20-something miles away. And he went up to the top of Mount Carmel and began to pray, prayed seven times. And finally, a cloud about the size of a man's hand came up. And he says, there's a sound of abundance of rain. And he started running. And before he could get to Samaria, there was a deluge and the drought was broken. And he outran Ahab's chariot and beat him to Samaria with Ahab having a head start. Elijah was pumped. Man, Elijah's endorphins were flowing. His adrenaline was flowing. And after all of these great victories, look at this in 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now, I don't doubt that Jezebel hated Elijah. But you know what? Jezebel was blowing smoke here. She was threatening something that she couldn't deliver. Even tyrants have to respond to the people. And the entire nation had seen fire fall from heaven. And they had said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And she was not able to kill Elijah. If she had, she would have sent us a soldier with a sword, not a messenger with a note. She wanted him dead, but she couldn't kill him. This was intimidation is all it was. This is the way that the devil is. The devil intimidates us and we defeat ourselves. We run off in unbelief. Sure, she wanted him dead, but she couldn't kill him. She just sent this note. And look in verse 3, it says, and when he saw that, saw what? It says, I'm going to make your life like the life of one of them. Again, get this picture of this many people right here being dead and you killed them all. Just imagine what it would take for a person to go through and kill 850 people. Their bodies would be stacked up. He'd be covered in blood. It was graphic. He had a vivid image of these 850 people that were dead. And it says, when he saw that, when he saw himself like one of them, he saw himself dead. She got inside his head. He saw himself defeated. And when he saw that, did you know, it all depends on what you see on the inside. It depends on how you see yourself. This woman said, I'm going to kill you like one of those prophets. You're going to be like one of those. And he saw it. He saw himself dead. And when he did, this man who had challenged the king, who had challenged the prophets, who had challenged the nation, who had stood up and had done things that nobody else had done, ran from a woman with a note. Because he saw himself dead. He tucked tail and ran. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, here's what he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." Boy, there is a lot in that statement. Think about this. He says, basically he's saying, "God, kill me." He was spiritual enough that he wouldn't commit suicide, so he asked God to kill him. Spiritual suicide. He asked God to kill him, and he said, here's the reason, because God, I am not better than my fathers. Boy, that reveals a lot. You know what this means? He had just thought he was better than his fathers. He had just come to the realization, God, I'm not any better than my fathers. And this illustrates the point that I'm making. You have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You have to keep your attention on him. Elijah had had a string of unbroken successes. He went and talked to the king, and it came to pass. God protected him. Ravens fed him. He multiplied the widow's food. He was the first person in the Bible recorded that saw a person raised from the dead in the 17th chapter. He raised a man from the dead when nobody else had ever done it. You know, I know like 50 or 60 people that have been raised from the dead and have raised other people from the dead. It's really a relatively commonplace thing today. That's a whole nother thing. Some of you think, well, I hadn't heard about it. That's because you're listening to As the Stomach Turns and ABC and NBC and stuff like that. That's where the problem. You should be in the Word of God and hanging around God's people. Man, it's a relatively common thing today, but when Elijah done it, nobody had ever been raised from the dead. This was miraculous. And then he called fire down from heaven, caused a revival, made the king submit to him, outran a chariot, ended a drought. And you know what happened? He got to thinking, I am somebody special. Nobody's ever called fire down from heaven before. Nobody ever raised somebody from the dead.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Fulfill God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1068C for CD or R3212D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU18 titled Run with Patience when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to thank all of the partners of Andrew Womack Ministries for making this radio program available. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to broadcast on radio and on television. And if you aren't a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner. We spend around $1 million a month on radio and television airtime, and we give our materials away. It's not covered in just the cost of the things that we give away. If it wasn't for partners who gave over and above what it cost to put the gospel out to you, we could not continue this ministry. So if the Lord has blessed you and you would like to see other people blessed through this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then call us at 719-635-1111 and become a partner today.